Great to be here. I hope you come with anticipation and expectancy. Just be a part of God's family to be here this morning. If you're a guest, thank you for being with us. Let me just give you a couple updates here just for you to be praying for this week and this day. And even as you sit there, instead of me putting you to sleep, perhaps in my speaking, perhaps you could just go to prayer. And at least you look like you're praying. No, we do have a couple of things that we do need to really pray for. One, you'll notice that Candy's gone today. Her dad passed away, and so she is in Kentucky doing the service there. And pray for the Holdren family as that takes place. Pray also for Doris Cox. Maybe you know sweet Doris. I call her my Latin mother. She was in Peru visiting her family and was in a car wreck, and the car was totaled, and she was hurt, has to have surgery in Peru. And so pray for Doris. She's supposed to be home already, now won't be home until later on, perhaps middle of the month or so. But pray for her, just as she and her mom, they were all in the car, and a taxi ran and destroyed their car. And Doris wasn't wearing a seatbelt, which didn't help issues. But her mom and has issues as well. So pray for Doris. And then we have young John with us today, but pray for John and Ann. And I'll tell you what, there's some people you go to try to be an encouragement to them, to try to be a blessing to them. And I can't tell you how you just leave feeling like, okay, I'm ready to go see Jesus. She's soon to be with Jesus, and that's the longing of her heart. I mean, she just will let you know that. If some of you have longed to visit, and I would say at this point, just make sure you call ahead and talk to John and see if that's possible or not. But even this morning, I know that this is going to be uncomfortable for young John here because he has a good space bubble there. But I want this service before you leave, I want every one of you to hug young John. That's your challenge this morning, whether you hear anything else, because I want him to go back to that house and complain that Pastor Bill had everybody hug him for his mom, okay? So that's your goal, whether you know young John. John, stand up right there. You look like Abe Lincoln. Stand up right there. That's young John. So, John, get mad at me if you want. You can sit down now. Don't take the show. But, I want you to hug young John. We have so much coming up as we start the year. And man, want you to get involved and engage. And the information is out on the table for so much of it. But we talk about how to study the Word, and Kent's going to be teaching that. And we, especially as we engage, we want you to do it in measurable ways. And you say, yeah, I want to be in the Word, but what does it mean? Just kind of open the book and say, God, give me a verse today, or is there ways to really look at the Word? And that's what we're going to be looking at. Kent's going to be teaching that starting in March. The Financial Peace University is a great way. It is an actual course. It's 9 weeks. There's a cost involved, but if you're serious about getting your financial house in order and to really say in this year, 2015, I want to accomplish some things, there's information out there on the table as well, and you can talk to us, and there's information about that as well. I struggle even this morning. That's not the right word. Well, I guess it is. I've had a cold. I'm fine now, but the residual will hang on to my throat forever, it seems like. And most of you know how much I enjoy singing and how to be a part of that. And to sit up here and to stand up here and to play and not be able to sing just absolutely kills me. I mean, it's just like, okay, that's part of my expression, but man, how can you not, even as Jeffra said, I may not be here and able to do some of the things, but I can sing in my heart and I can hear the Lord in my head and in my life. There's a tension I know between worship. This is free. This is just on my heart. There's a tension I know, and as much is written about it, especially in Christian circles, about the difference between performance and the issue of reflection. And I find myself at times, many of you are not a part of our rehearsals and what we do. But even as Jeffer was saying, and as Candy was saying, and as the Satorises are coming up on some issues of their life with little Aubrey having surgery, every band member has a story. No one's here to perform. No one's here. It's about sharing our hearts, what God's doing in our lives, just as our struggles as we do with you. But we come to worship together. We come to worship together. We don't want this divide here. We want this to be together when we come to worship. And so I know there in some churches it's all about performance, and in fact many churches now, they don't have any congregational singing. You just watch them as in the form of a concert. That's never our heart, nor will it ever be our heart. We want to do our best, obviously, as we do that, but within that, worship doesn't mean dead as well. Some people think that we have to reflect, worship has to be reflective, and I understand that, but this is the very God who told us that we are joyful always and to praise Him with the harp and the cymbals and the loud clanging cymbals and the all of the things that we do. But we come, and God says that we come to worship. And I pray that as you come, that's your heart as well. We've been looking at the book of James. If you have your Bible, I ask you to turn to James. If not, pretty soon the words will be on the screen there. But we talked about James being a humble servant. That as we look at engaging, as we look at the process of engaging, our challenge for you is to engage in 2015 and beyond, to really engage with Christ, to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of your box, to step out of that which has been so ritual in your life. And as we do that, we see that James starts as a humble servant. He started saying, I'm a humble servant of God. I'm not Jesus' half-brother. I'm not the leader of the church of Jerusalem. I'm a humble servant. That's what we bring. We talked about suffering. As Jeff Russell eloquently put, the issue of suffering, it's in that suffering that we should glory in that He's refining us. I mean, I know this sounds terrible because I'm not the one living it, but praise God that in Jeffra's hearing that she's losing audibly here, it's making her more sensitive to hearing the voice of God. That's a blessing, is it? I mean, I know that's her heart, but in the process of that, it doesn't make it, I mean, I understand your hearing issues, but to hear the voice of God, that's when we glory in the suffering that God says, okay, listen to me. When you look in the mirror, do you see in Christ that you are in Christ today? Do you see that He's forgiven you, justified you, declared you righteous? Do you see that He'll never forsake you, that His love will never leave you? There's nothing that can separate you from that. And last week, we looked at the fact that, quite frankly, mercy triumphs. Mercy triumphs. That it's not about judgment. It's not about showing favoritism. It's about showing mercy. That if there's a question at all, it doesn't matter. Let God be that one. We show mercy. Mercy triumphs. That He's given us mercy and grace, and that we're to demonstrate that as well. And today, really, He says to get real. This passage is in this point is really used as opposed to fake, I guess. If you say get real, well, I guess it means that there's those who are fake and there's things that are fake. And people are obsessed with the real in many cases. Have you noticed that? Real leather. Well, I suppose I want fake leather. Coke used to have the ad, the real thing. I don't know what the fake thing was. I don't know if I drink it. But the real thing. Real coffee. That is true now. I guess I like coffee, but some of you call it coffee and it's not real at all. Right, Anthony? Yeah. You know, but real coffee. I love this one because it really affects my home. Real savings. I won't go there. But that, guess how much I saved, okay? Were those real savings? I wonder. I'm not going to, yeah, never mind. The question that really is, as James is looking at, is the genuine Christian. The real article. Making it real, getting real. Do you have a real nature change? As in 2 Corinthians 5, that you have a new nature. The old has gone, the new has come. And in this passage, James is talking about this issue of being real. Now we're going to read a number of verses here. Pardon my cough, I apologize. And you'll see this interchange here. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about it, his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, this is a misused passage and misunderstood passage by some people. In fact, some people will attempt, there's some cults that will attempt to tell you, well, James is showing that one must work for his salvation, because there's such this interplay of one word used in different directions. Work. Now, the entirety of Scripture, and that's what you have to look at, is so clearly that you are saved by grace through faith. The entirety of Scripture. And so you come to this, you realize, well, if the entirety of Scripture, Scripture's not going to contradict itself, what are they saying here? So Paul and James are fighting two enemies. And they're fighting two enemies that are different issues. Now listen to me. As Paul writes in the epistles, he is fighting legalism. He's fighting legalism where it says, I become a believer by not only trusting in God, but I must do these things. I must keep the law. I must do this. So they had all the laws, and they say, so for us today, let me give you this one that's so well known. I must be a believer. I must trust in God with my heart and have faith, but I also must be baptized. Some will say, well, okay, I've got to be baptized. That is a work, and that work is not needed for salvation. Some go way beyond that. Some will say, okay, I trust in Christ, but if I'm going to be a believer, I must be in church 90% of the time? I don't know. I must pray daily. I must be in the Word daily. I must love this or hate. Whatever it may be, whatever you want to put on there, I must not think bad thoughts. I must not lie. I must be doing good. Whatever it is. But Paul is fighting that. Paul is saying, no, it's grace and faith alone. So he's fighting this legalism that says you've got to do something to earn the grace of God. James here is fighting laxity, laziness spiritually. He is saying here that those who say, some will say on the other hand, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe. And the word would have it defined. In other words, you're just becoming lax. You become lax within that. So the other part of this is James is writing to this group that says, oh, it doesn't matter what you do. I believe. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I said the word. I believe in Christ. I don't need to do anything else. And James is talking about the byproducts of being a believer. He's saying that if you're a believer, if you truly are a believer in Christ, if God has changed your life, there'll be some natural fruit that comes from that. Now, they are both using the word work, works, but in different ways. Paul is focusing on what salvation is internally. How do we get it? What is it? What is the way that you believe in your heart and confession now that Jesus, what is the gospel, the death, burial? He's saying, how do you get God's salvation? How do you accept this gift? It is a gift. You do nothing. The gift of God is eternal life, period. And that's what Paul is fighting. But James is using the word works on what salvation produces externally. What is that fruit? The work of salvation in us is his work. The work of the fruit that produces us is still his work, but it is seen. If we have a natural progression in our life, if we know him, it will be a works fruit that is seen. There's no argument between Paul and James here. None whatsoever. They fit hand in glove in that. You see this in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now notice the three phrases in there. You've been saved by grace, through faith, unto, to do good works. That process within that. You are saved by grace through faith, but we are his workmanship within that, and from that there will be produced fruit in our lives. So as James writes here, he's talking about the real thing. What is the real thing? Well, he gives us some clarification here. He says, first, the real thing is not just in words. Not just speaking it. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? See, this is a false claim. It's a false confession. You can say it, but it doesn't make it so. I can say, I have long hair right now. Doesn't make it so. I can say, I'm thin. Doesn't make it so. I can say, whatever. It may not make it just because I say it. And he's saying this is a false confession here. He claims to have faith. A false confession. There's nothing there. He just claims to have it. In other words, what he's saying here is talk is cheap. And there are people who believe that, oh, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. But it's not true. And that's why he says there's going to be many who say, but people, oh, Lord, didn't I do this? He said, but I never knew you. I didn't know you. And the real things James is saying is not just in words. He also says it's more than just a feeling. I know many of you immediately, and that was kind of why I put it up there, Boston, you know, more than a feeling. More than a feeling, I know. Play it there for me, Mike. More than a feeling. He says, suppose a brother or sister was without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, I wish you well. I wish you would keep warm. I wish you food. I have good thoughts about you. I sympathize. I empathize with you. But I do nothing. The real thing is more than a feeling. The real thing is more than seeing a need in somebody. The real thing is more than just saying, yeah, the world needs to know Jesus, but I'm not going to do anything about it. The real thing is more than just saying, yeah, my neighbor, my coworker, the person across from me needs to know Jesus or I can help in this situation. The real thing is more than just a feeling. It's more than emotional response. Listen, I know this is going to make some of you mad, but you know what? Listen to this. Goosebumps do not minister. They don't minister. They may not, hang on here, newsflash, your goosebumps may not even be from the Spirit of God. Well, they could be. God's resonating in the ear. But it's more than a feeling. It's more than just having a warm emotional response. Man, it's not just sympathy. It's not just tears. It's doing something to help. We can say, man, I feel for you. Man, I feel for you. You're going through it. But I'm not going to show that I care for you. I'm not going to show I care for you. It's more than just a feeling. We have those who think, oh, I'm a believer because I got warm goosebumps. I have faith because I got goosebumps. It was great. Oh, Paul did a great job. Vinicius did a great job. What was the word? I don't know. To have real faith is not just in word. It's more than a feeling. The show me challenge talks about here. Real faith is visible. It's not just talk. He says, show me your faith. You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith. By my deeds, I'll show you. He's saying, listen, it's the show me challenge. If you're from Missouri, you know, or Missouri, you know, the show me state, the show me. Listen, he's saying, show me. Real faith, our faith, if it's real, at some point, there will be a visible representation of that, not just verbal assent. Your heart will be moved beyond just the verbal assent and will be moved to have an action to help somebody, to do something, to impact. And it may just be praying for them. I'm not saying, but it would go beyond that. But there has to be some more so than just this, okay, I'm talking about it. Yeah, I really feel bad for them. Boy, their life sucks. It has to be said, God, how can I be used? Real faith is engaging our culture, engaging those around us. He's talking to believers here to engage, that your real faith has to be more than that. I love this as well because real faith, as he gets here, doesn't need a degree. It doesn't need a degree. He says, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. Nah, okay. I set you up a little bit. Because goosebumps may not minister and goosebumps may not reveal the Holy Spirit because the definition of that word there, shudder, is to bristle and bump. That's the meaning of that word. We can get goosebumps for a lot of reasons, can't we? But it doesn't need a degree. Listen, the devil knows. The devil believes. He knows there's one God. You don't need a degree. And there's so many people who have strong beliefs and strong opinions and lots of education. And boy, we can argue with the best of them. Listen, you can believe the right thing and still be lost. And still be without faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just a textbook. It's not just in your head, but it's in your heart. There are those who have a lot of head knowledge, and they can talk all they want about what it means, and their theology may be correct, but they've never given their life to Christ. That was me. That was me. I grew up in the church. I grew up under Bible. I grew up going to adult Bible studies. The church didn't have any youth or kids things. And now I look back with great thankfulness for that, hearing some of the greatest teachers that I've ever heard, but I heard them as a kid, as a child, men that are now gone to be with the Lord, but I learned so much from them as I look back from that. But listen, I learned so much from them as a kid. I knew the theology. I knew all about it. I will never forget in junior high, the junior high teacher, bless his heart, I love that man. But he looked at me and said, I don't know this story. Can you tell it? I'm in junior high. He's teaching the junior high class, and I'm supposed to now tell the story. I knew it all. I mean, in my mind, I knew it all. All the right words to say. But I was lost. There was never, ever a visit. My heart wasn't changed. And when I was confronted with the gospel, when I was confronted to realize it's not just about your head, it's about what your heart, have you exercised your faith in Jesus, changed from your dependence upon self. It's not about all the education. In fact, sometimes that education keeps us from seeing the need that we just need to trust in faith to a God who loves us, who sent his son. And James is saying it's not about degree. Listen, you think you're something? Listen, the devil himself believes in God, believes there's only one God, believes that in that sense of a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. Now, there are some, and let me clarify this, because there are some even in this church who believe if you just say the name, you're a believer. Just say, I believe in Christ. And if you ever mention that, now you're a believer. I hate to disagree. I can say I'm thin. I can say I have hair. Doesn't happen. And you can say, I believe in Jesus. That doesn't make you so. Because it's more than just verbal assent. Faith is not determined but demonstrated. Our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. And that's what James is trying to say. He gave two examples of Abraham and Rahab. He said, our faith is not determined by what we do, but it's demonstrated by what we do. Paul is talking about our faith being determined by a faith in the Lord Jesus. James is saying, no, our faith is determined by what people see, the demonstrated. That theological tension that goes across between, I have faith, but there needs to be fruit in my life. In Corinthians, it's told that we're to examine ourselves. As it comes to communion, we're told to examine ourselves. Many people will take that phrase and they'll beat you up. Examine yourself. Do you have sin in your life? Da-da-da. No, he says one thing examines you. There's only one thing that makes you worthy to come before Christ at his table, and that is, are you a believer? Because there were those who were coming to the table, they had a lot of talk, and they had no heart. They had not given their life to Christ. They had it in their head. They knew all the laws. They knew all the rituals, but they did not have a relationship with Christ. We examine ourselves. Do you need to examine yourself this morning? Have you grown up with a lie thinking just because I've been in church, because I speak the name, but there's never been a time when you've come to your life and realized I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, give my life to Christ and change dependence? To examine ourselves. Are you in the faith? And then he says from there, James is saying, once you examine, and then he says to engage. Engage, to go, to get involved, to be engaged in your spiritual life, to actually have an engaging warfare within the world to see this culture I want to impact. I want to grow. I want to be in the Word, not because it earns anything. It's a natural outflow of us growing and maturing in Christ to engage. We all talk about memorials. We have Memorial Day coming up and all the different things about memorials. The great thing about memorials is they put them there. Jesus, God told many times in the Old Testament, said, build a day today. Build this memorial today. Why? So you can look back and your kids can remember and you can see what was done. And today you need to make a memorial. Perhaps today is the day you need to say a memorial. I'm going to engage in Christ. I'm going to engage with Christ. I'm going to engage my culture. I'm going to engage in serving. I'm going to engage, get out of my box. I'm going to ask God and dream that God would use me in ways that I've never dreamed imaginable. Get out of my laxity. Get out of my thinking, okay, well, I've got my fire escape from hell's, man, car's been punched, great. But to engage in walking with God. And they would have these memorials so they wouldn't forget. Don't forget today. Don't forget what God has done in your life. Don't forget the time. Build that foundation of faith. But I also want you to share the journey. To share the journey that you have. To don't forget it, but to share the journey that God's given. And we're going to encourage you even in this day. We have, as a church, you know that our theme is to engage. This memorial of not forgetting. But are you sharing the journey? Are you sharing it with others? Are you writing it down? We're going to help you do so if you desire. You can go to any store and buy whatever. But as you check out of here today, this is not an ad for us at all. It's not about us. But as you leave here, there's some journals on the table with the shirts that say engage, as Pastor Paul's wearing and some of the others are wearing today. Engage. Whether you get it or not, they're reminders. There are ways to do, but I would love for you, if you would say, God, I want to engage. I want to measure it. I want to be measured in my growth. I want to be measured in the journey that I'm taking. I want to be able to write today so I can look back in 4 days, in 5 days, in 4 months, and see what you're doing in my life, to journal this. Then as well as you can share it with us, as we ask you, as you bring your journal, to tear out a page of your journal, you can share with us, or we can ask you to write down something and share it with us. So if you're involved in that, you can use your own journal. I don't care. But out there, they're $5. You can take a journal, there's a pen, you know, open up, you can look at it, whatever. But if we want you to share the journey, that is the point here. It's not just to share the journey between yourself and God. We want you to share the journey with us. That we as a church family can start. We heard Jephra's journey today, did we not? Did it move your heart? It did, didn't it? You hear her journey. We want to share that journey across this room where you will say, man, I trusted in God for this. And look what happened, and today's the 13th day that, man, I've just really been praying for this and praying for that, whatever it may be, not in a legalistic way, but in a way for us to share the memorial of not forgetting what God is doing in our life. To engage, be able to look back and measure those moments, to be able to say, look, I was there, now where I'm at here. James is saying faith without works is dead. And I'm saying we need to share the memorial and share the journey of that as we grow to engage with God in ways in our life. Get real. That's what James is basically saying, get real. And as we get real, as we start to impact, as we see people, as we engage with people, to get real, to be the genuine article, to let God grow in our lives and mature us, as well as that to be seen in those around us. Are they seeing your faith in action? That's engagement. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we come, I pray that you would help us to make sure that we evaluate, examine ourselves. Are we in the faith? And then, God, from there, I pray that as we examine ourselves, that we would engage, we would have a desire to go beyond, to help you develop that desire in us to trust you greater and greater ways, to serve you in greater and greater ways. That the outflow of our faith would be seen, not just words, but in action. Now, God, I pray that you would help us today to build a memorial, even today, to write it down, to see how you are at work in our lives and the decisions that we make. So, God, I pray now that you would just move across this room and your spirit would resonate with every heart here. God, may we just demonstrate today our love for you in ways that will change the world. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.